And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world. As we record this, we are entering a new year, so many of us are starting out with high expectations, but we end up giving up along the way. What if all we needed to do is take the first step? See, taking action is what starts us on our way. And on today's episode, my amazing new friend Maria and I are going to discuss the power of taking action. Maria, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. And I am really looking forward to this because so many people have these things that they want to do, goals, ambitions, desires. And the key component that everybody misses is you gotta take action, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why one of my mentors says you gotta have a misogi.
Okay. I like that. What does that mean directly? Define it for me, misogi.
Sure. Jesse Itzler actually coined it in United States. It's a Japanese term that when you make a decision as to what overarching thing is going to set the tone for a year. So instead of saying, I'm going to do this year, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to have five different things, one overarching thing that defined that year. So for instance, last year, my defining goal was I was going to do Alex Hormozi rule of 100, which means that I was going to do one thing for 100 days for 100 minutes every single day, continuously for 100 days. So that was my misogi for 2023. And then sometimes the misogi chooses you versus you choosing the misogi. This is, again, based in the Japanese culture. So in 2021, I had a very big misogi for my business. And instead, my dad ended up getting sick. And I ended up having to fly back and forth from California to Texas. That's where my family is. So the misogi chose me because that in 2021, my defining misogi ended up being that I needed to be there for my family and I needed to be present for my dad as he moved on to heaven. And then once my dad passed away, I needed to stay put with my mom, you know, as she went through the grieving process after 21 years. So a misogi is an overarching goal that defines that year.
I like that. I like that perspective. I've always said John Lennon, I guess, coined this, or he might have gotten it from somebody else, but life happens while we're busy making other plans. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in life, things happen and we have to be flexible and we have to be able to take the proper action accordingly. So we're going to talk a little bit deeper too about the importance of taking action. Tony Robbins, who's one of my mentors, always talks about taking massive action, which basically means you just don't take action. You got to really go at it with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. You got to be serious about it. What happens is, especially in the self-development community, we get really big on things like manifesting, which is great. I believe in that. And affirmations, another great thing. However, the problem is if we sit around saying, oh, I'm going to manifest this goal, this dream, I'm going to say these affirmations. I am a millionaire. I am a millionaire. But you know what? We can say all the affirmations we want, but if we don't take any action, we're never going to do it. A really powerful thing is remembering that action is really the start of everything.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about you, about your story, and how you've used this principle, whether it be the misogi that you talked about or just taking action in general, and how that's gotten you from where you were to where you are today.
You know, I was blessed that from the womb, I was all about taking action. I was actually born, my mom was 15 years old when she had me, and I was 6 months old, and I weighed less than a pound. So I could actually fit in a little shoe, in a little children's shoebox. And people thought that I was a toy. And doctors guaranteed 100% that I was going to die because, you know, 51 years ago, almost 52 years ago in Mexico, that was like not happening. You know, I was a fetus at that time, and they thought that there was no way that I was going to make it. Well, obviously they were wrong. So I was born in Mexico to a very practically child. And so I grew up with my grandmother, and my grandmother and my mom made me believe that I could do anything. And all of my life, I just think that I can do anything. So I've done all sorts of things. And I grew up in Mexico until I was 14 years old. And then even when I was in Mexico, a lot of the people in my family, they all have little stores, little businesses. So I had my own little business outside of my grandfather's store. And I've always had that entrepreneurship inside of me. But when I moved to the United States, it was go to college, get a job, work for somebody, da 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 da. And I did that. But then one day I was invited to a multi-level marketing event. I had no idea what multi-level marketing was. I had no idea that that even existed. I think that the farthest I had ever like take a peek was Jafra or Avon. I got invited and I went and I was like, oh, there's like an ocean of people like me. So that's actually what got me, you know, started into the world of solopreneurship. And I proceeded with my first company, which was a company called Zango at the time. And if anyone is familiar with multi-level marketing, network marketing, I am the actual poster child of why everybody runs away from people like me. I mean, literally, I was just awful. Everything that you shouldn't do, I did. Everything that you should not do, you know, it was just awful. I was awful from 2005 until 2015. And then in 2015, I came across a very fascinating human. And at that time, he was making between 40 to 60 grand a month. And all we would do was literally hang out at Starbucks. And he would talk about all the things that he wanted to do. And then I was like, man, if he can do it, I can do it. So then I went and I talked to the number two income earner, who was a very astute businesswoman. And I partnered up with her, and I went and I got my car in 40 days, helped a few people do the same, expanded into 5 countries. And then I went and I personally opened the country of Colombia with my team that I had grown through Zoom. And then I realized, I don't want to do it this way. So, you know, and then I continue and I continue. And then long story short, I realized that what I really wanted to do is that I wanted to live the digital world. I wanted to live in the world of having a digital marketing, affiliate marketing business where I didn't have to go to events. I didn't have to be that icky girl, you know, calling all her friends and family and burning through friends and family. So in 2021, when my dad got real sick, that was one of the main reasons for why I chose digital marketing, because when my dad got real sick, I don't know if you've ever had to go back and forth through the hospital. And absolutely, sirens going off, and you don't know whether you're in, you're out, the doctors are coming or not coming, nurses are coming. And when I was going through that, I just didn't have the bandwidth to call people, to go meet with people, to go to events. And I was really praying for finding something that I could actually do on social media. So I found, at that moment, I found affiliate marketing, and I didn't really understand it, but I started dabbling in. And then finally in June of 2021, my dad passed away. And when my dad passed away, I don't know if you ever had to deal with grief, but grief has no manners, no respect, no timing. And I definitely was dealing with my mom, caring for my mom, because, you know, now she was a widow after 35 years. I just wanted to be present, and I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, calling people on the phone, especially when I would call people up, they would be like, hey, how are your parents? And I was like, oh. So I started looking seriously into affiliate marketing and digital marketing. So that's why I launched my career into digital marketing and affiliate marketing. And then back to your original question is, how did I find the action, right? Is the, you know, like you said, it's not just about taking action. It's about taking massive, decisive action, because in the right next indicated action, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been sober since 1-1-1-1. One of the things that I learned was that people can take all sorts of actions. You know, like I used to have a lot of friends that would be like, oh, Maria, I posted. I know God is going to do something. Dude, that's what you call post and pray, and
Yeah.
that doesn't work. You know, it's like I'm gonna pray that somebody asked me to be on their podcast, but I never do anything, right? So it's taking right indicated action. So for me, it's not just about taking action; it's about taking the right next indicated action. As a matter of fact, right before I got on this podcast, I was talking. Not talking, right? But I was chatting back and forth on Messenger with a lady, and she was saying all the action that this one community is asking her to do, but it's all action that is not really leading her to where she needs to go. And I said, that's a lot of great action, but it doesn't benefit your friend. You know, not,
right.
I didn't call her friend, but you know, it for so I don't disclose her name. One of the things that is a big misconception is that people think that if you just take any kind of action, it works, but that's not really true. You have to take the right next indicated action. You know, you have to take, if I want to lose weight and all I'm doing is working out, but I'm eating donuts every day and fried chicken for dinner and whatever else, I have, you know, hamburgers in and out for lunch, it doesn't matter how much I work out, you know, the weight is just not going to come off. No matter how much action I take in one aspect. So it has to be the right indicated action.
That is so true. And I'm so glad that you pointed it out, because it's not just about, you have to have a plan. It's like, if I want to drive, I live in New York. No, you live in California. So if I wanted to come and say, visit you in California, I would have to get my map out. In the old days, nowadays we have GPS, but I'd have to set the GPS, get in the car and drive. I can't just get in my car and say, okay, I'm going to go see Maria in California and just drive wherever I want to drive. Your action is not directed in the right places. So you have to have that action that is directed in all the places that are going to take you to where you want to go. So I think that's huge. But there are a bunch of other things you said. I mean, actually a lot that we can sit and unpack. But I love the mindset that you were brought up with, that you can be and you can do whatever you want to do. And I think having that, if anyone has children, that's the greatest gift you can give your children, is let them know that they have the power to do whatever they want to do and to be whatever they want to do. They have to believe it. And of course, they have to take the action to do it. I think having that start in your life, Maria, is what really catapulted you to where you are today. And the other thing you've done is, you know, you've learned from things that happened in your life and moved on to something else. You didn't get stuck there. Because sometimes when we have, like when you talked about, you became that girl, you know, that annoying girl for multi-level marketing. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Cause I think when I was in my early, early, early 20s, I got involved in a multi-level marketing thing. And it was exactly the same thing. I became the annoying guy, you know, pushed away all my friends because, you know, you're doing things a certain way. And you know what? Just over the last several years that I've gotten into business again, I've realized that some of those things that happened in my life put some limiting beliefs and bad habits in my life, because I became a lot more reserved about talking to people about my current business because of the way that I was treated way back when, from those days of multi-level marketing. And I don't know if you went through any of that, you know, when you were all of a sudden, maybe you're a little more cautious, let's just say. And when we're in business, when we're out there taking action, one of the things we have to do is we have to know, we have to be bold, and we have to be willing to put ourselves out there. And when we're putting ourselves out there on social media, that's something that a lot of people are afraid to do. And you mentioned putting one post out there and thinking that now everything's going to happen. No, you've got to be out there every single day, getting your message out there with no matter what you do. So everything that you just said, you know, I love. And the last thing I just want to say before I turn this back over to you is that I do know the grief, because I lost both my parents when I was very young and my sister. So I've been through that. And like you said, it's something that everyone deals with in their life, and everyone deals with it different, but we can't escape it. I think it was a blessing that you were in a position in your life where you were able to spend the time there and be there, you know, with your father and then with your mother afterwards and have that. So that's something that having that lifestyle that we talked about, the digital lifestyle where we can work from anywhere. I mean, imagine having a job where you couldn't leave that job and you couldn't do that. That would have been torturous. Anyone listening who wants to give themselves the freedom to be able to do that, I think it's so important to try to find a career and something in your life. Go out and get a coach, somebody who can help you to get into a career where you have that freedom to be able to just travel if you need to and be with people in your life that you care about and spend those moments. So I'll leave that part of the discussion behind and we'll move on unless you have any other comments to what I just said.
Well, I'll add, and I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, that's a huge hit. That's, you know, that's a triple hit. And like, I cannot imagine going through all of that. But, you know, I tell you something, when it comes to, I think back and I think, wow, how different would my life would have been? Because I'm going to talk about something a little bit dark, but, you know, it happened. So it's not happening. And, you know, as a child of a 15-year-old, I was molested by five of my uncles, all from the age of memory until I was 15. And I think if my mom had had the ability to be able to support me as a digital marketer and be able to make a living from her phone, I mean, I would have been able, my life would have been completely different because I would have grown up with a mom. I mean, at least I would have grown up with at least one parent. I, you know, at 51, I still don't know who they, I mean, I was blessed that my mom married my dad, who, you know, who became my dad because he adopted us kids, but I've never known who my biological father is. When you talk about that, yes, I mean, for me, my heart goes out to moms and dads that they miss out on so many things with their kids and they have no idea, at least me, you know, I can only speak as a 51 adult child, that all I wanted was to be with my mom. All I wanted, all I dreamed of. I remember I would stand at the door waiting for my mom to show up and I would wait and I would wait and then she didn't. And then the next day I would wait and I would wait and then she couldn't show up. You know, and again, she was a child. She was 15 years old. What are you going to do? But I always think, I wonder what it would have been like if my mom would have been, you know, as a mom, as a young mom, if she would have been given the opportunity to have a digital marketing business from her phone.
Yeah, it would have changed so many things. But again, I don't like to spend a lot of time dwelling on things in the past that have happened because they're already in the past. Something that, again, I'll bring up Tony Robbins again. He talks about the life that he had. And he had a situation where, you know, he had multiple fathers over the years because, and his mother was an alcoholic. And one of the things that Tony says is if he had had the mother that he had wanted, he would never have been the man that he is today. If we look at our past, we have to look at those things. If those things in our life hadn't happened, we may not be the person that we are today and the person that we could be. So I'm going to transition this into something where a lot of people talk about the important thing is to know their goal, know what they want. And I think that's super important. I mean, before you take action, that's part of the roadmap, right? You have to know what you want. In my silly example, if I want to go to California, then that's what I want to do. So I have to know what I want so I can make that plan. But I think before you take the action, another thing that will help you take action is you have to have a strong enough why. And your why can't be, oh, just because, well, maybe that'd be something I'd like to do. Like, oh, I'd like to start a business. Yeah, that would be fun. That would be something cool. That's not going to be a strong enough why. When you get those obstacles against you, you're not going to want to take action if your why is strong enough. And, you know, I'll use something silly like, well, not really silly, I guess, but I'll use something like quitting smoking. Someone who wants to quit smoking. If they just say, you know, I'd like to quit smoking, just it'd probably be good for my health. If they don't have a strong enough why. Now, my father, he was a heavy smoker and he quit smoking after 50 years. He'd smoked for 50 years and he stopped smoking completely. What was his why? His why was that the doctors finally put him on oxygen. He had to carry around this oxygen tank and he couldn't walk up the stairs without getting out of breath. And he finally just said, I'm sick and tired of this. And he took the pack of cigarettes and he threw it away. that was his why was strong enough. But just saying, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when cigarettes went up to $1 a pack. And I remember so many people saying, when it goes up to $1 a pack, I'm going to quit. You know, I don't even know what it is now, but it's a lot more than that. That why was not strong enough. But when you have a strong enough why, it'll make you take action. So you have the what, because you know what you want to do. You have the why. And, you know, the how, you'll figure that out along the way. But before the how comes when. You have to say when. And in my life, when someone says, when are you going to do that? Usually my answer is yesterday, like right away. I'm going to do it now. Decide what you want, take action, and take action, and do it right away. You know, don't spend time analyzing it. Too many of us try to plan. You know, we sit there and we overplan. Now, planning is good, but if we get stuck in the planning and we never take the action, then we'll never get there. So what are your thoughts on that? Just curious.
I respectfully disagree.
Ooh, and the only I love
reason,
it.
Yeah, the only reason I respectfully disagree is because I've been doing this a long time, wrong and right. And there are times that it is better to get started not knowing your deep why than to just wait until you learn to discover your deep why. And I think if someone is blessed to have a coach like yourself, absolutely, absolutely. If you have a coach like yourself, then of course you can help anybody find their why. But the average person doesn't have that, and they may not have been primed to be able to know that. And what I've discovered in working with people is that sometimes it is better to just get started than to have a deep why. And, you know, again, that's just from working with people and from so many people, from what my experience has been. And again, I think our experience are different because you're a coach, you're a transformational coach. You are a coach that you, the kind of results that people are getting are, it would be almost like they couldn't come near you and not have their why, right? So it absolutely makes sense that someone like you would think, you know, of course somebody needs to have a why. But there's times in my industry and in my line of business is that sometimes I got to just get people off the rampage. You know, I got to just get them driving. I got to get them on the bike. And yes, don't worry about why you're getting on the bike or where the bike is going to take you or how hard, you know, just get on the freaking bike and start, you know, and start going. And again, that's with me working with people because sometimes, you know, and again, the same thing is like sometimes people don't really need to know, as a sober woman, people don't really need to know their deep why as to why they need to quit, but they just need to quit.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and I'm one of those people that I was, and I was thinking about that. I used to, I love smoking. I was a smoker for many years. I never had a deep enough why, except that, you know, it wasn't attractive. It was stinky and I wasn't sick, you know? So I didn't have a huge why. I just didn't want to be that girl anymore, even though I loved it. So ooh. I would literally just.
I'd stop you right there. You didn't want to be that girl anymore. That was all you needed. I think that why for you was deep enough because you.
Well, I don't know because I tried for many, many years.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I get it. But I think there always has to be something because taking action, if it's an easy action, that's one thing. But if it's something that's a little hard and something that you really don't want to do, I'm just trying to think of an example of something that someone knows that they have to do, but they don't want to do. Getting up in the morning, if you're not a morning person, you know, getting up early out of bed to go to the gym is something that you don't want to. Now, can you set an alarm and get an accountability partner and make sure that you do that every day? Yeah. But usually there's something behind it. There's some other reason that's pulling you up out of bed. You know, when I was in my, when I was, again, one of the other things I did in my early 20s was I started a real estate career. I used to be a realtor, but I was like 22 years old. I bought my first house. I had a relative who was a realtor and I thought, oh, I could do this now. Well, the only thing is when I was 22 years old, I looked like I was 12. So my relative had said, well, nobody's going to want to buy a house from someone who, you know, who looks like they're 12 years old because it's their biggest investment. So that became a limiting belief. And I've talked about that before. But one of the, you know, the things calling people up, because this is what we had to do back in those days, we pulled out what they were is these crisscross directories, and they would list every person on the street. This is back in the day when people had landline phones, and they would list everyone's name on that particular street and their phone number. And we would sit down and we'd pick a street and we'd call everybody up on that street. And we'd ask them, you know, if they or anyone they knew were interested in making a move in the near future. And that's how we would get our leads. It was called cold calling, and there's cold calling now, but that was very, very difficult to do. And you could say, yeah, I'm going to do this. But what happens is you always find other things to do because it's something that you really don't want to do. So, you know, the bottom line is when we really have to have a strong enough reason to do those things that we don't want to do, that will give us success. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So we are on the same page. And I do agree, too, that sometimes, even if you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, you have to get started somewhere. Like you said, if they're not working with a coach, or if they don't have, you know, a really deep why, but they just have the desire to do it, then yeah, get started. Go ahead and do it right away. So I totally agree with you there.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that. And I think that you are, you know, again, I the reason I say this is because you are such a great coach. And, you know, and especially with your background and all the experiences that you've had, that to you is a no-brainer. That why wouldn't you, you know, why wouldn't you do it this way? Why wouldn't you do it the right way, right? Because you are a trained professional. In Alcoholic Anonymous, one of the things that we say is that the only thing that we ask is that you have a desire. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't even need to show up sober at a meeting. You can show up high as a kite, drunk as anything, but as long as you have a desire to quit drinking, even if you don't want to quit drinking right then, but you have a desire to show up. It's fascinating.
That's totally fascinating. I love they have just an amazing program. I've known many people that have gone through it and, you know, are doing wonderful today. Who did I see? It was posted online. It was some famous actor who has been sober for like 20 years or something. I don't remember who it was, but
there's
I
many
mean,
of us.
Yeah, there are. And I guess I can say I'm fortunate is that I've never been a person who has needed to like stop drinking, or I've stopped certain other things in my life, but I know there's some people that the only way that they're going to move forward with their life is to become sober and stay that way. So, and I have a huge amount of respect for people that have gone through that. I salute you for that, Maria. I didn't know that part about you, so I appreciate you sharing that today. So let me ask you, can you think of some examples, either with you or people that you've known, where taking action has been powerful enough to completely change their life, and what action that it was that they took to get started?
Absolutely. With my mom has always been the pioneer of her family. She was the child of 13 children. My grandmother had 13 children, and then she ended up having 9 living. And then once she passed away, there was 8 living. And my mom was always the one that set the mark. And she was the first one that came officially to the United States. She was, you know, she may not get the credit that she deserves, but people who have babies who have not even been born owe it to my mom. Because if it wasn't for my mom, people that live in Canada, people that live in the United States, people that live all over, it was because my mom made a decision that she was tired of the way that we lived in the United States, in Mexico. And then she made a decision that she wanted to have a better life for her 2 kids. And then she adopted my 2 little brothers who were my aunt's, her sister. Right before she passed away, she asked my mom and my dad, who adopted us kids, to adopt my brothers. So my mom has always been this, like, she's just a powerhouse. And she's changed so many lives. And if it wasn't, like I said, if it wasn't for her, many lives would have a completely, completely different life.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And someone like that for you to have in your life to look up to. I think that's so important. I look at my parents, you know, in the same way. I mean, some of the things that they did and they accomplished and the sacrifices that they made, you know, to give, you know, their family a better life. You know, I'll share this. I shared it a few times on the podcast, but my sister was actually my mother, which is sounds funny when you say it. But basically, when I was born, the woman who gave birth to me was she was 19 years old at the time and not married to my father. And there wasn't much of a chance that they were going to get married because of a family dispute. He was very, very, my father, well, I guess, was very, very Italian, came from a hard Italian family. And my sister's, or my mother's family, they were German. And the parents on the Italian side said, no, that's not going to happen. He needed to marry an Italian girl. So that was how the story went. And anyway, so she gave birth to me and made the decision that she wanted to leave the area, go into the army, which is what she did. After a couple of years, after I think my first year and a half, she went into the army, but she gave me up to her parents, who were my maternal grandparents, who became my parents. When I grew up, my parents were much older. So there is action there and there's sacrifice there, because my sister, who was, you know, and I knew her as my sister until I was like 13. Then I found out she was actually my mother. We had a great relationship. We had a very, very close relationship all through our lives. And even after that, I think we were closer. You know, sadly, she passed away. She was a heavy smoker and got cancer at age 56 when she passed away. I lost her very young, but we were extremely close. And her sacrifice, I mean, of saying, you know, she could have been that selfish and decided to raise me and try to do it on her own, which I guess wouldn't really be selfish, but she could have decided that. But she realized that, no, a better life for my son would be to have him raised by my parents, because, you know, they have the financial stability and the lifestyle stability to give him a better life. So she made the sacrifice. From the other side, my parents, who were really my grandparents, they'd already raised the child. They'd already had the life. They were ready to go into a little more quieter years, but yet they made the sacrifice by taking me in. You know, I'm ever so grateful for them, and they will always be mom and dad to me. So the point is that we're talking about taking action, but there was action taken on all parts. And there was an action that I took later in life. You know, I had mentioned earlier that, you know, my parents, who were my grandparents, they died when they were in their 60s. I was very young when they passed away. Also, they were all smokers. Fast forward years later, after they both passed away, I went down to New York City, where I'm originally from, and I knocked on the door of this man who was my my birth father, because I worked as an investigator, so I knew where he lived. Very easy to find that information out. So I kind of followed that, and I'd always kind of wanted to make a stop. So I went down there and I knocked on his door. I met him. He was amazingly, and Maria, this is just the way nature versus nurture, that whole argument. Well, when I met this, I saw a lot of mannerisms that I have in him, and he was very welcoming. I was surprised. I didn't know what I was going to expect, but he opened up and he let me welcome me into his home, introduced me to his wife. And I kind of think that she may not have known or that I even existed. So I think surprise, surprise. I tried to maintain contact with him, but unfortunately it didn't happen. And that's okay. Everything happens again for a reason. But again, I was willing to take that action to meet this person because I thought it was important that I meet, you know, the man who was my father, even though I never met him. It all goes to show you that making sacrifices and taking action, sacrificing a little bit of ourselves for the good of other people is what really make the world a better place. And you can make a huge impact in the world by doing that. And I believe that you're the kind of person, in fact, I know you're the kind of person who is always willing to do that. So, well, thanks for letting me tell a little bit of my story there.
A beautiful story. Very inspiring.
Well, this show is supposed to be about you, and here I am talking about myself, but you were telling about people in your life who have taken action and examples of how that's made a huge difference in your life. And I love the example of your mother. Were there other people or maybe other things that you've done that you haven't talked about yet today or you'd like to talk about?
You know, my entire life has been full of action takers. I mean, like my little sister. My little sister is a very acclimated teacher in Texas. I live in California, Southern California. This is Laguna Beach right here. And my little sister, I mean, she's taken a lot of action and she's been a very acclimated teacher. My little brothers, they both went to the military and, you know, they, at a very young age, they lost their mom, similar, you know, in a different way, but similar to you. And they got adopted by my parents and they were a hot mess when they were young. And then they joined the military, grew up really fast. And then now they're both chaplains. And one of my little brothers goes, they're identical twins. One of them is a psychiatrist. And I'm the only one that is least educated in my family. My dad and I, we used to laugh because my dad was a physics major, highly, highly intelligent pilot instructor. And he used to also be a pilot. And I only have a BA. I have a BA in philosophy and Spanish, but everybody else in our family had, you know, it was academia. So everybody was highly educated. My mom is a PhD. She's the first doctor, or she was the first doctor in our family. So, you know, everybody that I'm surrounded by, it's very big on taking action. And then the same thing with the people that I surround myself with is our people again, you know, my mentors, my coaches, I'm just surrounded by people of action.
Have you done it when you were really afraid?
Oh gosh, are you crazy?
Yes, I know.
You know, I think that people, when I hear people say, I'm just going to get rid of my fear. I'm going to get rid of, you know, I'm just not going to be afraid. And I'm like, girl, you're going to keep waiting forever because fear and being afraid doesn't go away. I used to remember if I was going to be interviewed like I am right now, I would be petrified because I was the girl that could never speak on camera, that I didn't know how to speak English. I was never going to speak English. And I would freeze, you know, if I was quote unquote put on the spot. So I don't believe that people get rid of fear. I think people, in my opinion, again, is that I just take action and I teach people to take action in spite of how afraid I am or in spite of how fearful I am.
That is exactly, you know, the way I see the world too. I mean, take somebody who jumps out of an airplane. That's a scary thing for, I think, most people, right? But they do it. I think about those people they call it the greatest generation. Those were the people that fought World War II and how they stormed the beaches of Normandy. And it was a scary thing. But if they weren't taking action, we'd be in a different place right now. No matter how much you're afraid, just go ahead and do it, because you have so much to gain by taking the right action in your life and doing the things you fear. What's the old expression? Your best life happens, you know, one step outside of your comfort zone. That's something that, you know, I can see that in you. You're a person who is willing to always step out of her comfort zone. So that's why I kind of laughed when I gave you that question. If someone was listening right now and you were to advise them, somebody maybe who's on the fence, who's not sure about doing something, what would you tell them right now if they were sitting right here in front of us?
Well, it depends whether, you know, they're on the fence on what. And, it, you know, like I have a girl, I'm fortunate that I have a lot of women come to me that they're, you know, they're on that edge that they need to make a decision to change their life. And sometimes nothing is ready for them to take action. What I would say to myself, you know, if I was in that position, because I have been in that position, is to do it in spite of, to do the next indicated action. And like you said, a coach may not necessarily appear, but there's always somebody, whether it's a book, whether it's, you know, like I lean on a lot on Jesse Itzler, who is, you know, who was one of my best mentors. I lean a lot on my faraway mentor, Alex Hormozi. Many people that, you know, Jesse Itzler, I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough that I actually met him in person. But there's people like Alex Hormozi, I've never met him, but I really pour into a lot of what he teaches from afar. And I've also learned to reach out and not be afraid to powerful women, to powerful men. I'm going to tell you a story. You never know what you're going to get unless you ask. So when I was still in network marketing, which I love, it just doesn't actually work the way people claim it to be. What happened was that I came into this really powerful multi-level marketing company. The name of the company is Isogenics. And at the time, it was owned by two very powerful billionaires, Kathy Coover and Jim Coover, husband and wife, and then their son. When I was launching, I was a new kid. I was a new girl. And I called Kathy, the owner, and I said, Kathy, what would it take for you to do my launch party? And she's like, well, I think if you have 100 guests, I could do it. And I was like, so if I have 100 guests, you'll come. And she's in Arizona and I'm in, you know, Orange County, California. She said, yes, if you have 100 people, then I will do it. Well, Tony, I had over 730 something people. And you know, the higher the numbers go, the more that you have to change the venue. So I was like, we cannot take any more. We're done. No more guests. So we cut the numbers at, I think it was 732. And as I'm the new person in the company, I'm on stage with two billionaires, with a $1 billion company. And I just joined the company. And this girl, we were taking Q&A. And this girl says, I'm just curious, how did she, you know, it's implying like there's a lot of people that are really powerful and you haven't done this. And she says, how did she get you to do it? Kathy Coover looks at me, looks back, and she says, she asked. When it comes to, let's say that a young woman, let's call her Jessica, comes to me and she says, I need to do A, B, and C, but I'm terrified. I don't have the money. I don't have the means. I can't even feel that I could do it myself. Then I would say, go find someone who can help you do it. Ask him for help. And if that person doesn't help you, go ask another person and go ask another person until somebody always says yes, Tony. In my life, if I had waited for me to have someone come to me to accomplish the things that I've been able to accomplish, I mean, I would still be sitting, you know, in little rooms, in little living rooms with a couple of people, a couple of friends and family that I torture to come to my event. So my thing is always reach out and ask for help, because you never know what the answer is going to be if you just ask someone else for help.
Yeah, the power of asking is, I mean, that could almost be a whole podcast episode on its own, because it is an action. Go up to people and ask them. There's nothing wrong with asking. What the worst they can do is say no. And if they say no, you're no better off anyway. An interesting story is I did a little bit of dating coaching for a while for a couple of clients. One of the things I had this guy, and it's funny because, I mean, he wasn't a bad looking guy, but he was just terrified of meeting people. He was very, very introverted, and he didn't want to ask. And we went to this coffee shop, and we're just sitting in this coffee shop. And, you know, there were a couple of young ladies that were sitting over a little way over. So I just said to him, hey, is there anybody here that you would like to meet? He's like, well, the one lady over there, you know, is attractive. And I said, oh, okay. So why don't you go talk to her? Oh, I can't do that. Why not? He's like, well, you know, well, what if she says, you know, no, what if she doesn't like me? You know, I said, well, you know what? Do you think that if you were to talk to her and she didn't like you and she rejected you, then there would be some telepathic message to women all over the world that you're a person who isn't likable? You know what I mean? I said, no, it's just one person. Go up and ask. And then he's like, he was still afraid. And I said, all right, hang on a second. You know, it's kind of like one of those hold my beer things. Although I think we were just drinking coffee. So I said, hang on just a second. I got up and I walked over and I started talking to them and started having a conversation. And I said, you know, he's probably going to kill me for this, but my friend over there, he thinks you're kind of attractive. And, you know, he was wondering if you were available. And she says, well, as a matter of fact, I just broke up with my boyfriend about a couple of weeks ago. And I said, well, hang on, let me bring you over and introduce. So I introduced, but I said, look, what did I do? I got up and I asked. I said, the worst you could have done was to say no. You got to be willing to ask. And whether that's anything in life, whether that's for that promotion, whether that's to start that business, to ask people to do business with you. It's all about asking and asking and taking action in doing that asking, because you can think about it all you want, but until you get up there and do it, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change in your life. So I love that you brought that up, because that's a huge part of action.
Absolutely. You know, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier on your real estate days, is like when you decided to just start calling, what was the question that you used to ask?
We would just say something like, hi, I'm just calling people in your area. You know, I've noticed that there's a lot of people that are interested in buying homes in your area, and I'm curious if you were thinking of making a move in the near future. That was the line, thinking of making a move in the near future.
Thinking of making a move. And as a matter of fact, my neighbors I've known them for years, they're moving, and they were a staple in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you had not asked that question, you would never know. That to me is like asking questions. That's the power of Alex Hormozi. Alex Hormozi says, look, go and ask 100 people and take action for 100 days, for 100 consecutive minutes. Now imagine if all you did as a real estate agent, right now the people are claiming sales are low, right? If a real estate agent went and asked people, what was the question again?
Are you thinking of making a move in the near
future?
Are
you thinking about making a move? Or do you know anyone that is thinking about making a move?
Do you know anyone? Yes. Please.
This is like the worst that people are going to say is no. So you put them on your list, and then you come back again 3 months,
yeah,
and then
yes,
6 months.
Yeah.
You know, you add them to your email list. So another thing that I would do, Tony, is that I would actually, I'm a digital marketer, email marketer, social media marketer. But social media and digital marketer is irrelevant if I don't have an email marketing campaign.
Right.
So what I would do with anybody that asks about action, I would say, get a good email campaign. That's actually what I would say. You need to start getting an email campaign, because that's going to pay you for many years to come.
Yeah, get those email addresses. Well, with that in mind, I just want to ask, if people were interested in reaching out to you and hearing more about you and what you do, what would be the best way to do that?
Everybody can find me at all things social media at marialupita.us. So across TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it, I'm Maria, M-A-R-I-A. And then my last name is Lupita, L as in love, U as in union, P as in Peter, I as in India, T as in Tom, A as in apple. And I spell that one because sometimes people don't know how to spell Lupita. Or they can also email me at askmarialupita.com. And if they want to actually get into my email and get about over $12,000 worth of free trainings that have been proven to work, then I encourage everyone to get into my emails and start getting the free stuff that I give away. And the way that you would get there is by just going to alldayfreedom.com. And you can also access me by going to marialupita.com. But alldayfreedom.com will get you to all the goodies that
all
I give
all the goodies and all the freedom that they need.
Yes.
But how do they do that? They have to take action, right?
They have to take action. Exactly.
So I will post all of these links in the podcast notes so that if, you know, people, maybe they're driving now and they won't remember, they can just look it up right there. Last question I want to ask today is something I ask all my guests, and that is simply this. What does being purposely positive mean to you?
Being purposely positive to me means that I need to intentionally be in gratitude, because I cannot be positive if I'm not coming from a place with intentional energy of gratitude. I used to think that feelings were irrelevant and feelings didn't matter, because I used to have an attorney and we were going through this hot mess, and I would go call him and I was like, oh my gosh, I just did this. And he would say, Tony, and you as an investigator can probably relate to him. He would say, Maria, I'm glad you're sharing your feelings, but at this moment, your feelings are irrelevant. Let's get to the point. And I would feel like, oh, like I would feel so crushed. And at that time, I was just like, you know what? It's what needs to be done. You know, and I was grateful for how he treated the quote unquote feelings. And I used to say in therapy, they often say, now that your feelings are not relevant, but they're not facts. So let's focus on what is factual. As of 2 days ago, I don't believe that anymore. And this is why. Because if I don't deal with my feelings are more important, more relevant than I give credit to them. So let's say that I'm really having anxiety. I've been coming about around, and this is the reason for why 3 days ago I changed this. I've been coming around this women. So I don't know if you're familiar with TikTok. In TikTok, it's based on behaviors and interests. So if you're a male and you're listening to this, never go to your spouse and say, oh my gosh, all I get is girls, young girls and inappropriate dancing. Because that means that the algorithm, AI, is saying that that's all you're interested in. So they give you more and more of that. So never say that. And women are going to hate me for that tip. But when it comes to, you know, once you start looking at something, you get more and more of that. Yeah. And I've been looking at a lot of women that are manifestation coaches. And one woman, she said, your feelings in everything that you're putting in matter. And then she went into a whole discussion. And then there's a whole, you know, a whole PDF. And by the way, if somebody wants to have the manifestation PDF that I created based on what this coach did, I was like, oh my gosh. So a lot of times I ignore my feelings. When you don't know better, you don't do better. So I was ignoring my feelings. So every time I would come across a couple of coaches, manifestation coaches, I would get this anxiety and I didn't understand why. And I said, you know what? I really need to deal with this anxiety. So I started putting pen to paper and writing it down and writing it down so that I can actually understand what something would cause me anxiety, what something would cause me such a reaction. So for me, being able to have the response that you ask me, I need to acknowledge my feelings so that if my feelings are not at the place that they need to be, I can work with those feelings and bring them to positivity. But in order for me to bring them to positivity, I need to acknowledge them. I need to go to a place of gratitude, and then I can come on the other side of positivity.
That's very deep, Maria. I really like that, though. Acknowledging those feelings, that's really the key right there. Because the feelings come. And if we try to ignore them and try to push them away, they're only going to come back. It's kind of like something where when you try to push it away, it comes back, and it comes back in full force if we don't acknowledge them. And but once we acknowledge them, then we can step into that present moment and we can figure out what the next thing to do is. Figure out, like we talk about today, what the next action is to take. What a great way to wind down this conversation. And I know you and I could probably go and talk for probably another 2-3 hours. That's how we are. But we're getting to our time. So I want to respect our listeners. But I want to thank you, Maria, for being on the podcast today and for coming and for sharing all of your wisdom and your stories and letting us have this wonderful conversation.
Well, thank you for having me, Tony. It's a pleasure being with you.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there struggling and saying, what action should I take? You can download a free resource. It's an ebook called Strive to Thrive, and it'll help you move in the direction of a purposely positive life.